Hello and welcome back, my bitches, to the Real Bitch of Bravo podcast with yours truly, Jihei Wiley, the Real Bitch of Bravo, bitching about all things Bravo and getting as much tea as humanly possible. Now, who's ready to do some real bitching?
Hello and welcome back, bitches, to the Real Bitch of Bravo. If you have not seen my next guest's Instagram account, you are missing out. It is phenomenal. It is very thorough. It has a new format on it, too. It's like nice and pretty and shiny. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Second time guest, guys, Lindsay Lime, a.k.a. Vanderpump Recaps. Again, please give her a follow. It's really, really good. I actually go thoroughly through your like every single page, even though I already watch or listen to podcasts religiously, you know, like, but certain ones, I definitely, when I'm on your page, I definitely like scroll through and I'm like, okay, well, I don't listen to that one. Like I don't listen to Rachel Goes Rogue. So Thank you so much for recapping Rachel Goes Rogue for me, because
yes,
I don't know if I could want to listen to her. It's not that I don't want her side of the story. I don't know. It's just, she's just not in my repertoire. Also, I'm not knocking her. I'm glad she's getting her story out there and everything, but her voice just annoys me. So, and I'm not knocking her, like, get your hustle on, do your thing, sweetheart. Like, I'm fine with it. I love that your story's out there and that you're doing your thing, but I just, yeah, not a fan of her voice. I just, her cadences are just off for me and stuff like that. I'm not saying she's a horrible person. Well, I guess majority of America thinks she's a horrible person, but I just can't get down with her. Thank you again, Lindsay, so much for coming back on and taking
this. Yes, thanks for having me.
Of course. We're going to get straight up into headlines first, because we don't have a lot of time, and I feel like we can definitely just talk your ear off, or you can talk our ear off about all things Bravo and Vanderpump as well. So first and foremost, the Trace Amigas are still feuding. It is an ongoing battle. Tamra went on her IG live, basically talking about Vicky smashing her. For those that aren't, you know, don't care about Housewives, which I totally understand. It's not for everybody. But the Trace Amigas, they're still feuding. Basically, nobody's going to leave Tamra alone from the Trace Amigas. And they basically said, like, you know, blaming her assistant, who's like, I think like 22, 23 year old kid, saying that he's the reason.
He's really young.
He's one of the reasons why they're feuding and they're not touring with each other, which is a total lie, according to Tamra. I wanted to know your thoughts on this and whose side are you on?
Oh, gosh. So this is one feud that I haven't really been able to keep up with. I know,
constantly like, changing, I think, so I get that.
Yeah. Well, and I think from the start, I think Tamra said a while ago that Shannon was mad at her because she liked something on, and she liked something that had dealt with. Now. Yeah, exactly. So that started it. And then it, you know, Vicky went on Jeff Lewis and said all this stuff. And then Tamra's been like raging. And I know she talked more about it too on Two Teas in a pod. I didn't listen to all of it, but I think she said, like, I don't think she showed any or sent any, but she was like, I have the receipts or anything if I need to show it. Yeah. And so I don't know if I had to. Tamra seems to exaggerate a lot, but I almost am more, I don't know. I feel like she, I'm more so on Tamra's side right now, but that very much could change.
No, and that's totally understandable, the way that, you know, they've been talking about one another. Like, I just, for my thing, I think my only issue is that, like, first of all, I'm not a huge Vicky fan. I've always never been a really big Vicky fan. I think she has major anger.
Not either.
And she also, you know, she just, I think she needs to be on television. And that's fine. She's great TV. So that there's that. It doesn't mean that I'm going to root for her. I just, you know, but I think in this case, you know, Vicky is definitely, she's trying any which way to like get back on and all this stuff. And this is her way. I'm probably going to get shit for this, but whatever, it's called the Real Bitch of Bravo. This is the way that she, gets back on, is through the coattails of somebody else's storyline. Right. And it's just like, I wish she could just get back on her own merit. Right. Like, hey, I'm in love. You guys want to see my story about me being in love and, like, you know, my love tank is full and stuff like that. Like, I think some people are sick of that narrative, but she should go with that storyline, right? Of positivity. Like, I'm happy. I'm doing really well. Yeah, I have this feud, but you know, look where else my life is going kind of thing. And she's not really capitalizing on that. I will always be team Tamra. We always have that one housewife or those multiple housewives per franchise that you ride or die for. Doesn't matter if they fuck up all the time or if they're right all the time, right? If they're wrong, right, doesn't matter. And that Tamra's that for me. So Tamra, you can do no wrong for me. Would love to party with you. We'll put it up. I will totally be your replacement of Vicky. I'm sure that you have 8 million people asking that, but I would gladly go to Orange County, take that crazy drive to Orange County. It takes like 45 minutes to an hour to get there from where I live. But wow. I'll gladly commute for Tamra Judge to go. I'll go
yes.
to you. Like, so I think that she can do no wrong. And I also don't think that she would lie about this assistant. You know what I mean? And if this assistant didn't want to be in the spotlight wanted to be in the spotlight, they would have already been there. She's been on wow. camera for years, right? And I think she's had him for a while. So
yeah, and he's like a 20-something year old kid. Like, it's like, why are you dragging him into this? Like,
yeah,
I don't. It just is messy. And yeah. I think Tamra said just all of this, the whole feud with all of them. I think Tamra said that she caught them talking shit.
Yes.
Which is funny because I mean they all talk shit, but
yeah.
I think. I don't know. It just seems all dramatic for what reason. And I think you bring up a good point about Vicky and kind of her wanting to get back into all of this.
Yeah. And I just also like, I just wish that her storyline was just different, right? Like her story yes. is different. Like if you think that she's, in order to get back in, I just wish that you would just do it of your own merit. Stop trying to drag other people into your, you know, your quest for fame. But at the same time, my other reasoning too was that not saying that she was in on it, but to a certain degree, you got to know what your significant other is. And I know is doing and is like what they're about and the whole Brooks cancer thing scam. Like that was just so insanely shady and so crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to go with her on this one that she didn't know. But if you really didn't know, like you can't be that naive. I think I don't know. Like, I just think that like, honesty and her, they're not really friends. So I just, it hits a pattern. And I've never known Tamra to lie on camera because the truth always comes out when you're on reality television. There's,
yeah.
We're going to talk about this in a second, but like there was a segment where in Vanderpump Rules on the show this past week that like they cut to 10 years of a gap of James cheating with Kristen Doty. And he says, that wasn't 10 years ago, dude. It's like, yeah, it was 10 years ago. Don't bring up something that was 10 years ago. And they literally, right. editors come back and they're like 2013, you know? So it's things yep. like that, like they're always going to come out. Things are always going to come out. The truth is always going to be there. There's always a timestamp, guys, just like on your text messages, there will always be a timestamp. My next headline and my last headline, because I wanted to concentrate more on Vanderpump Rules. Traitors has just been renewed for their third season. I think I know the answer to this, but I want to know, and we might be in agreement, but I want to know, who do you want on next season?
Oh, I talked about this on my Instagram. I want a Vanderpump Rules Traitor season, and I want... Okay, if it was a Vanderpump Rules Traitor season, I would want the whole cast, like past and present. I would want Sheena and Jax and I forget who else I said, but definitely them as traitors. And I want them to kill Brock so that will throw off Sheena. I want Jax to accidentally say that he's a traitor the first episode, but no one believes him.
Right.
But if it wasn't just a Vanderpump Traitor season, I think I would want Jeff Lewis, Heather McDonald, because of their feud.
Yeah.
And then I would want some Vanderpump people on it. Sandoval, honestly, probably that would be interesting television. But yeah, I'm so excited for season three. Like, I want all the people on it. Have you thought about who you want on there?
So I haven't thought about everybody, but I do want one person in particular. And I do agree with you, though. I would love to have Jax on there for redemption purposes. Because when he was on Villains, he got cut automatically because he just showed
his... He did.
So I'm wondering if he doesn't show his... Like, he learns from his mistake and he goes on Traitors and then crushes it, you know, because like he has changed. Like, I've got to give him his flowers. Like, I listen to his pod all the time. Him and Brittany are killing it. She changed him. And for the better. I mean, there's certain things that he's still going to be petty about, but like, and rightfully so. But at the same time, he's still changed, because kids change you. Marriage changes some people. So he has changed. But when it comes to money and when it comes to hopefully like him, and he's learned from certain past experiences, I would hope that he do the same on Traitors. That wasn't my first want, though, to be on the next season. My want is for Monica to get her shot.
Oh,
I want her to be out there so badly from Salt Lake City, for those that don't know who the heck I'm talking about.
Yes, and what the hell I'm doing.
But I would love to have Monica on Traitors, because she can spin a story and all this stuff. And not everybody watches Salt Lake City, right? Like, their drama wasn't as like viral as Scandal. So I still think that there might be some people on the cast that are like, oh, we don't really know your story. Da, da, da. And then like, they might actually pull from her, and she's very convincing. Like, that bitch can lie through her teeth. So her not telling, her telling Meredith, you know, in the beginning of the season, oh, I've never been here. This is so great. Like, your store's so cute. Right. When she first came to her store. So I think that she'd be great on there. Maybe, yes. I mean, I don't know if she's going to do it, but like, I'd love for Nene to maybe be on there.
Oh, Nene would be great too.
I think that this is just off the top of my head. Monica was my first one, but Nene to be on there. I mean, Kim needs the money, Zolciak. So maybe if she has to be on there, she can do that too. What's her face that she is coming back, I believe, to Atlanta. No, she's not. Cynthia Bailey would be fire for that.
Oh, Cynthia and Nene. Oh, that would be television gold. And Monica.
Absolutely. I think any of those choices, you know, Universal, any of those choices, I will be at the edge of my seat watching, because
literally
incredible TV. Incredible TV. That being said, speaking of incredible television, let's go to Vanderpump Rules. First of all, how are you loving the season so far? I know we're only in episode 2, but how are you loving it so far?
So I really enjoyed the first episode. I thought it was a good, just showing where everyone was at and building to the rest of the season. I need to rewatch episode 2. I feel like I was distracted a lot during it. I didn't really like it as much because it felt very produced and like setting things up, but I gotta give VPR production some credit, because I do this during this time, it was all so freshly new after Scandal. I think they were just truly trying to navigate how to get these people to film with each other. So while to me the conversation seemed very forced, but I have to remember the timeline of when these episodes were filmed. So like I said, I enjoyed the first episode. I need to rewatch this last episode, but I'm still excited for this season. I think it's going to be an interesting season.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I think, I mean, Lala Kent, she's read the assignment and perfected the assignment, right?
She makes great TV.
She does. And she's doing really well as far as producing herself and probably taking direction also from her producers as well, you know, per episode or whatever. So she's doing really well. I'm actually liking her this season. I'm not a Lala fan. I'm liking that she's the voice of reason, because somebody has to be. Somebody kind of has to pull them in together, because God only knows, gotta love Schwartz, but he's not doing a great job. So we first get the most awkward scene in the whole entire episode, which is Ariana talking to Sandoval's assistant, Anne. And first and foremost, I'd like to say, and I'm sure that you agree with me on this one, I'm so glad she quit, because there is not enough money in the world for me to ever work for that man. What were your thoughts on this scene, and how badly do you feel about Anne? And are you recapping her podcast?
I am recapping her podcast. sorry, my voice. I've talked to Anne a few times. She is super, super sweet. Her podcast is really nice. It's called We Signed an NDA. It's, See, I'm still a little confused. I don't think she works for Sandoval anymore.
But on the vial files
where Schwartz said his assistant quit, that was another assistant. That wasn't Anne. Like, Anne confirmed that wasn't her. Okay. So I think he's had, and his current assistant now, he said on Billy Lee's podcast today, is Zach, his cousin.
Okay.
So I'm just so curious, like, when Anne quit and why, but she's super sweet. This interaction, if you watch it on VPR, if you don't have any context, it seemed really awkward, right? I know some people said it seemed like Ariana was being rude, but I didn't take it that way because Anne has talked about this. Ariana and Anne are very close. Like, Anne adores Ariana, and Ariana's always adored her. The three of them were like one big happy family. And then Scandival broke and Anne had no idea. And so trying to navigate all that. But yeah, Anne said that conversation, she could tell Ariana was just like, her emotions were more towards Sandoval in that moment, but they were speaking through Anne. And I just can't imagine navigating that during that time. Can you imagine being like a mediator for those two? You couldn't pay me enough. Like, and I'm sure she wasn't being paid that much. So like, per Anne, justice for Anne.
Yeah. I mean, God, literally like the hashtag justice for Anne should be like
trending
thing throughout the whole entire season. Cause she's obviously dealing with that, like crazy. And again, there is not enough money in the world for me to be that man's assistant.
Never.
Like, not enough money in the world. You couldn't pay me enough. I'm sure a dude can do it a lot better. Because I think they can compartmentalize and be like, look, I'm just doing this for the almighty dollar, like, emotions out. And women, I know that I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but women, you know, we do attach certain things, right? Emotionally, it's just in our natural nurturing nature to do.
Yeah.
And so like, and from all accounts, everybody's told me the exact same thing about Anne, that she's super sweet. She's insanely nice, like over the top nice. And like for her to be put in this situation, it's got to be hard for her. I also think that this is just who Ariana is she's very blunt. Call it mean, call it bitchy, call it whatever you want, but that's just who she is. And she admits that if everybody goes back into the files, into the, you know, VPR episodes and seasons, this is just who Ariana's always been, right? Like drunk or sober, she's always been this way. Like she comes back at Lala during James and Raquel or Rachel's, you know, dinner for like or whatever, you know, engagement reception. She's like spin, like that's just who she is. That's just who she's always been. And that's who she's always going to be. When she's like, I'm just gonna keep on existing in my home. That's just who Ariana is. You know, again, call it bitchy, call it whatever. That's just who she's always been, and she's not gonna stop being that way. And why change? You know, ain't broke to fix it. You know, so for her at least. Next, we get Ariana and Lala having smoothies to talk about her living situation and her life and what's going on and kind of them just playing catch up and basically just getting, maybe actually getting a friendship, because I know that Lala had concerns the episode before and basically said, like, I think that you just are cool. Like, do you just have me existing? Like, am I just in your little sphere or whatever? Or am I actually your friend? You know, so this is them trying to build the friendship. I also was listening to, I think it was Kristen Doty's pod where they, her and Up and Adam star basically talked about how Lala, like we talk about self-producing and all that stuff. And that's just what Lala does. That's what these guys are doing now. Fortunately and unfortunately, because you got to move the story along. But Lala basically probably got somebody chopping in her ear saying like somebody needs to go and have lunch with her and just be or something with her, do an event with her and sit her down and talk about all this stuff. You know, play devil's advocate, et cetera. I mean, great line. I'm not going to lie. The devil doesn't need more advocates, but
yes.
But at the same time, I'm down with what Lala's putting down for her. What did you think about basically Lala talking to Ariana about, you know, moving out? Would it be easier? They talk about Dan and her. We'll start with that and then we'll just go from there. Like just Lala and saying like, don't you want to move out? Like, keeping in mind the timeline's only been 2 months that this is all happening, right? So this is still very fresh. It's still very new. And I think everybody needs to freaking realize that, because this isn't a year later, you know, like all of us are now thinking it's 2 months later since all of this is in her life where everything's just blown up. So I get why she's like, fuck him. Like, I'm, you know, the money that you're offering me is not enough. Like, I think that we both should just burn this place to the ground and just move forward and move into two separate places. Not, I'm not going to give you the satisfaction kind of thing. So just want to know your thoughts on that first, and then we'll move on for the rest of the scene.
Yeah. I Lala this whole time on her podcast has been, sorry, I don't know what's happening to my throat right now, but my, I'm so sorry, saying that she was supporting Ariana all season, but you're gonna see her have questions. And watching it now, I'm like, okay, I see what she's doing. She's gonna be the one that is going to like tell Ariana, like, I'm here for you, but she's also gonna be the one to ask questions, because this is what the audience, some of the audience will be asking. So her asking these questions, I get it. I also think Lala struggles a little bit understanding Ariana's situation, because Lala with Randall, and she had Osir, and she just got out, right? And she didn't own the house.
It's definitely different when you're
It's different. And there was, from my understanding, a major safety concern.
Right.
And Ariana is not like, she can safely live with Sandoval in this moment, what we're seeing in these episodes. So I think Lala and Ariana are having a hard time understanding each other, because while their situations have some similarities, they are very, very different. And so I understand Lala asking questions, but if I'm going to be real, I give Ariana so much credit for not bowing down to Sandoval when it comes down to this house. And I think this was filmed in June. The reunion before this had aired like 2 weeks before. Emotions are high. I don't think they're still figuring everything out. So she's, and a lot of people say Sandoval's home. No, it is both of their houses. So it is a huge house. If they figure out a way to coexist, yes, it's weird. Wouldn't that be for me? But what's funny to me too is he is complaining about how broke he is and stuff, but I'm like, but you want this house. So you're saying you're paying for everything. This is what it would be like if you owned this house. So why don't you just sell it? And so, and again, we see eventually, I don't know if we will in the show, but in like what's happening outside the show, Ariana eventually, like, she doesn't really live there anymore, right? She lived at apartments during Dancing with the Stars. Now she's in New York and Chicago.
She's
and
Airbnb. So,
yeah, exactly. So, but I also get her, if she would have like vacated the premises right away, I could see Sandoval, some lawyers have talked about it, I don't know the legal jargon, but like abandoning your house. And so I think he could have said that. So it is all messy, but I get Lala asking these questions because I know some audience members are asking the same. So if Lala was just like, okay, yeah, that sounds great, then the audience would be like, wait, what? Like, I need to know more about this.
Yeah.
But I'm all for Ariana doing what she needs to do.
And again, like, I think I overly emphasize this every single episode. I think I'm going to emphasize this over time to the audience. And I apologize ahead of time, but continuously listen to this. And I think I'll repeat it as well. We got to remember the timeline. We have to remember that it's 2 months, you guys. Like, March just happened.
Like, right.
Very fresh in their minds. Yeah, maybe like it'll be 5 months have gone down the road. But think about it. If the shoe were on the other foot and you were in this circumstance, would you be like, you know, certain people react a certain way to quote unquote deaths or breakups. And this is how she's reacting to something that just happened to her, you know, 2 months, right. 2 months later. So I think that always needs to be put into consideration. I don't think that it's without the realm that he should give her receipts. I think that that's a very fair thing for her to ask, because it's no longer so on a post show or their after show, the Vanderpump after show, they get asked, right? Like, hey, where's this money coming from or whatever? Like, it used to be a joint account and now it's not a joint account. They just like took the joint account away and now they're that they used to refill, and just that's how they would pay the mortgage and everything else. So like they didn't worry about it and they just used that. Now that doesn't exist. It's only in his name. So he's paying for everything, which, by the way, that's shady. That's so insanely shady to me, because like, at least it's in writing. Cause I've had a lot of friends that like are going through divorces and their significant other is trying to hide the money. Right. So at least this is on paper. This is out there. And at least she has like record of like, he's paid this and da 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 da, and everything's on, you know, on paper, so to speak. Right. You can go back in the files and look it up, versus like there's other people that they try to hide that money and just pay in cash and like it's gone. And all of a sudden, right. Oh, well, I have no value. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's not on paper. So at least she has that going for her. But I would like to know. I would like to know also where the money's coming and going. Like, wait, you spent how much on utilities? You spent how much on the AT&T bill? Like, you can't just give me that. Like, you can actually ask your bank, can I get a statement? Yeah, it'll probably cost you some money, but like, can I get a statement of my bills of like the past, like each month? I just need each month. I need a statement. Can you email it to me, or could you, mail it to me or whatever, snail mail it to me, whatever. But there's a way that you can do it. It's not going to take, and you have an assistant. Get your assistant to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And she said she found out she had been overpaying on some stuff. So I'm curious what that looked like. Cause like you said, my understanding, they had a joint account. They then did that loan for the bar and everything switched over to his account. So I'm guessing whatever bank that went through, he now has the account. And so I'm almost curious, like, was he even overcharging her when they were together? Cause I'm sure at that point she just sent him money and he was just like, oh, it's this amount. It does get a little confusing to me. Cause I'm like, well, wait, like Ariana, did you know the mortgage amount? And also like with utilities, are you able to log into stuff and see?
Right.
So that part does confuse me a little bit, but I trust Ariana's judgment more than Sandoval's. So, and I think she has a lawyer. And she seems very, very smart with money. Sandoval is not smart with money. We have seen it on the show. So I trust her judgment. I'm sure she has seen what he's like. And as she said, he's overcharged her. So right. It is what it is with all that.
Yeah. Then we move on in that conversation. And we hear for the first time that she actually is willing to have a family with Dan, which is huge, I think, in her world for sure. Because I actually am of the same train of thought with her when she first started dating Sandoval, the no marriage thing. I think we've talked about this on our first episode together. I'm not a marriage forward person. It's just not for me. If you want to get married, mazel tov. God bless you. Do your thing. But for me, I just don't want to get married. I do want to have children, though. So, I mean, that's definitely a thing where you have to discuss that with your significant other. They cut to, them trying to purchase their home together. And they're completely they're on polar opposite ends of the spectrum as far as, those two things are concerned. And now she's flipped where she's like, I can see myself being married to this guy. I can see myself having a family with him. Because it's a 50-50 relationship. If I only have 10% to give, he gives the other 90, she's finally in a relationship that she feels safe in and she feels supported, et cetera, all that good stuff, which everybody should have that kind of relationship, right? Shouldn't just be, Right. But, thoughts on little Ariana Dan's out there.
I mean, I was like taken aback when she said that, cause I wasn't expecting that from her, but I think it makes a lot of sense. And I know some people are like, oh my gosh, like that is so fast for her thinking. Cause her and Dan at that point had just been talking for a little bit, but I took it as it's not even so much like Ariana sees it with Dan, but because she's with Dan or they were somewhat dating at this point and how that was going, she was like, oh, this is what it's like to maybe see things that way. And I'm all for like people, they can change their mind whenever they want when it comes to having kids, not having kids. That is on you. So if she was with Sandoval, and I think she could tell, if I have kids with him, I feel like I would be doing everything. I don't know if he would put in the work. And then she has someone like Dan, who she describes as very like loving and caring and, you know, does a lot for her. And it seems very equal. Then I could see her mind being like, could this be a possibility? And I think that's really nice that she's just thinking more in those ways, or just, and again, she could change her mind. Like, she has that right, and it might. But I was definitely, when she first said that, I was like, whoa, where did this come from? But as I'm thinking more about it, I'm like, okay, like, I think she has a partner now where she's seeing those things. And I think she's seeing more and more of her and Sandoval's relationship of like things that were wrong with it. And now she knows like what she doesn't want in the next relationship.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, this is what growth looks like, right? Like, this,
yeah,
you know, you learn from your previous mistakes and then you don't carry them on into the other relationship or other friendship or whatever the case may be, right?
Exactly.
So then we move on. Lisa is closing Pump, RIP to Pump. From a financial standpoint, I get it. You know, like, you're paying probably, I think it was like $900,000 plus for the year for the lease.
Yeah.
And, like, you're going to lose money at that point. Like, who cares? Like, move on. And on top of it, like, I know I'm supposed to like feel bad for her, but it's kind of like millionaires feeling like somebody that's barely making money feeling bad for like a millionaire. So I don't
think right.
feel bad for her, especially since she has other venues. But at the same time, I do feel bad for her employees. I feel yes. bad for the people that worked for her, because now they yes. have to go and find another job. And I'm sure that I know that she had some lawsuits, but I'm hoping that majority of them found, you know, got transferred or whatever, or like she fiddled them and moved them around. And they still have some sense of employment or something. So that being said, have you, or do you, or will you miss Pump? And what did you think about this scene? It's kind of a filler. It's like one of those, like, you have to have Lisa in there. So here you go.
Yeah. I mean, I'll miss Pump in the sense of, I've always wanted to go to California and do the whole Vanderpump crawl. And obviously Pump isn't there. I think Pump has a lot of significance, like, culturally. I know it was really big, like, during Pride, and a lot of people talked positively about Pump. It sounds like it was one of her most like beautiful restaurants with that big tree. But as you said, Lisa has a lot of money, so it's not really a lot on her. But as you said, her employees, I feel for them. I do think I heard a lot of them went to Tom Tom, so that makes me feel better. And this scene, it just seemed like a filler scene. I almost actually thought they're going to make Pump closing like a bigger deal. Then we just kind of got this little scene. So, you know, it just, like you said, it felt like just a filler scene.
Yeah, no, I have been to Pump. It is pretty. It's definitely more of an outdoor venue, you know, so it's awesome over there. It's probably the better time to go because it's actually warm. Like right now, I know Californians bitch so much about stupid stuff. Like weather, but it's been really for like the past week. And
yeah, I've heard.
I know that that doesn't mean a lot for other people, but it doesn't really rain here. So it's a huge deal. And there's a lot of flooding and blah, 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 blah. And it's really windy at the current moment in time. There's like a crap ton of wind in the background right now. I don't know if anybody can hear it, but, it's very, very windy. Mm. It's on and off rain. And, a venue like that, that's mainly supposed to be an outdoor venue, it would kill that spot. So only 1 month out of the year, this even happens, not to this level, but like that rain even happens here. So I think that people will miss that spot, but I mean, no offense. She was on a street. Technically Tom Tom's is on that street. She's on a street where it is like Boys Town. It's literally called Boys Town. And so there's tons of the LGBTQ community is mainly on that street. And there's tons of cars in the area, in the neighborhood, maybe some not as pretty, but I mean, there's a lot of them out there. So, and they're all LGBTQ forward and accepting and all that stuff. So, they're still going to always have Pride. It's going to be there, guys. It ain't going away. you know, it's just, you're going to have to find, like, you're going to have to go to Tom Tom's instead, or you're going to have to go to Sir instead. Which I don't think is necessarily a bad thing as well. So, I almost went with a friend too, who used to work at Tom Tom. And then I was like, you know what, you go have fun. I'm not going all the way to Hollywood, because it's like going into like literally another world. So like, it would have taken me an hour to get there minimum without traffic.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, forget that. Like, people don't realize how long it takes to get from one spot to the other. I literally just went from El Segundo, for those that, I'm going to give you a reference, but I went from a city called El Segundo back to my place in Hermosa, at Hermosa Beach. And I, in that span of time, if I didn't make stops, because I went to Coffee Bean and then I picked up dinner for my boyfriend, but in between that time, it probably would have taken me 20 minutes to 30 minutes to get back home. And that's within 5 miles of one another. So like, take that into consideration.
Oh my gosh.
Driving in LA. And that's also because I don't know how to drive in weather here. So, going to Santa Monica from where I live, the shortest way to get there, it takes 45 minutes, like stuff like that. Like, it just takes a lot of time to get. And I used to live in the DMV, where it would take me from Maryland to DC. It would take me 45 minutes to get from, to cross the border and to get into DC. All my friends thought I was, all my friends thought I was crazy. They're like, why are you taking a 45 minute commute, which is an hour and a half total? And I'm like, y'all have never driven in LA. This is great. I'm like, I'm going from state to one state to another state to be able to go and watch, or to be able to go to work. I'm like, this was me going to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And Santa Monica is like less than 10 miles away. So like, I'm fine with this commute. It's, at least I'm making distance. I'm literally going 45 miles to get to work. So like a minute a mile. So it's fine. Like, LA traffic just sucks. It's just always going to be that way. It always has been that way, except for COVID. Literally from 2020 to 2021, there was nobody on the street. But other it was a ghost town. It was so weird.
Oh yeah.
It was very odd. Like, to get to Hollywood would take 20 minutes during COVID. It was bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But yeah, like, I mean, you know what? Super psyched. You know, sorry for the loss of Pump, but at the same time, it actually, I think it also was like, for a short moment in time, somebody rented it out for like those Halloween shops. So they had
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it was like, a fluke, or if it was like the ha ha funny thing that somebody put up, or if it was real.
Right.
I'm like, are you sure? But so RIP to Pump. You know, I'm actually looking forward to seeing her newest venture, which is also in Vegas. Her third location's opening up hopefully soon at the Flamingo, and it's going to be East. So I'm super excited just to see it. Her other two venues, they're supposed to be completely different than her other two places in Vegas. So hopefully we'll see that and see how well it does. Speaking of new venues, are you going to be watching her, new show on Hulu?
Yeah, I probably will. I know there's a trailer out yet, but I haven't watched it yet. Have you watched the trailer?
I have watched
it. Does it look good?
It's fine. You know what? It's basically, she's trying to kind of recreate the original Vanderpump Rules cast. But at like a grander scale, right? Because this is like an upscale Airbnb that she's like, hey, you're renting this out and here's my staff, blah, blah, blah. And then like, they're all, you know, they're focusing on the staff. They do like probably a small, like they have like different departments, right? They have like the serving staff, and they also have the people that are the party planners as well. And they're just, they're all living in like one area, and then they party with one another.
Okay.
And that's like the main drama. And then obviously the other part of the drama is like her coming in and being like, no, like these people are paying an exorbitant amount of money to be here. Like, we have to treat them like this, and like them fucking up and stuff. So it's kind of, it's a little different, but very similar concept. So I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch
it
because it's LVP. I'm going to watch it, but it's just kind of like my thing with the Valley. I'm gonna watch it, but I better be intrigued. Like, you better do something really, really crazy, awesome, and amazing for me to want to watch this. Like, at least with like the Valley, we have Jax and Brittany, we have Kristen and her boyfriend. Like, at least we have some familiarity. Right. But with this, there's nobody except for LVP that we know.
Yeah,
so I just,
that's so true.
It's a brand new cast. It's gonna be really hard. It's kind of like Southern Hospitality for me. It took me a minute to get into Southern Hospitality, and they're thriving right now. That show, by the way, guys, if you're not watching Southern Hospitality, what the fuck are you doing with your life? Season two is awesome.
I know. I need to watch it.
It's really good. Season two was a lot better than season one because we're getting to know these people. Okay. Stuff like that. And now season two, we know them and they're like continuing on with their drama. Right. And they haven't really introduced anybody new except for Oisin. Just one. New
okay. Kid.
So all the drama is normal. Like all these people still have known each other, you know, since they started with the show from season one, and Emmy's taking much more of a role on. Anyways, watch it. It's great. Sheena and Brock go into the studio. Sheena talks about postpartum OCD, and they also talk emo night. I don't know if you want to talk about this. I mean, I'm glad that she's bringing awareness, but other than this, I was like, okay, yay, good for you. Scene with Brock. Like,
yeah. I mean, I personally really enjoyed this scene. I very much... When I had my son, I struggled with postpartum depression, but as her talking and her talking about her like intrusive thoughts with her daughter, I very much could relate to that. So I enjoyed that scene from like a personal level. I did think it was really interesting when we had her and Brock and her mom talking and her mom like got involved with their fight. I was like, oh, this is so awkward. And Brock like, I don't know. I think I'll try to give Brock some benefit of the doubt. I think he was trying to say that he just wanted to spend more time with Sheena. It didn't come across that way right away. And I think Sheena, I think they're having a hard time. He's having a hard time understand how big this is for her right now and how bad her intrusive thoughts are. But I will say that scene felt super, super real. It did not feel produced. It felt like they were having a real moment where they were going at it and then her mom got involved and then it like blew over quickly, right? But I thought that scene, I was like, oh, we're seeing like a real moment here.
So I could not agree with you more. This was the most authentic scene in the entire show.
Yes.
Hands down. There is no debate. Don't try to at me on this one, guys. There is no debate on this. This
was, no.
And Sheena and Brock have actually come out on podcasts and they've talked about that they don't get along sometimes. There's like real fights that actually occur, not physical, obviously, but like there's real true fight where they yell at one another and the mom is yelling and Brock's yelling at the mom and Sheena's yelling at Brock and then Sheena's yelling at her mom and et cetera. So she's still trying to keep the peace. So this was a really authentic, like genuine moment that they have on the daily. This isn't something they've talked about this, right? Like they're like, we're just like every other couple that's trying to make it and that's just trying to figure out, navigate our lives. Like we're a real married couple. Like this isn't like, we're not faking it for the show. So that being said, I agree with you. I thought it was great. Also an interesting introduction to Tori, who we're later going to see.
Oh, yeah.
The third, you know, whatever notch on their belt or wheel or whatever you want to call it between Schwartz and Katie. So looking forward to that. Last but not, then we also get to James and Allie. I don't know if you even want to talk about this, but oh, I do want to talk about them going to Schwartz coming over to their place. And then her reading his chart, his birth chart. And that's not what I wanted to get into. I wanted to get into James getting a text from Sandoval in the middle of all that, inviting him to his birthday, him and Allie to his birthday party, and him just basically being like, what do I do?
Yeah, that was interesting. It's really interesting because I don't know as far as what James in Sandoval's relationship looked like from them filming the reunion to now, because I know they filmed the reunion in March, but the last episode aired in June and then they started filming a few weeks later. So I'm guessing there was a conversation with production and they were like, Tom and James need to have a conversation. This would be a way with it. And so I think it was just, again, this is one of those moments where I was watching, it just seemed very set up. And I get it because as an audience, we want to see that conversation between James and Sandoval, because when it happened, it was entertaining to watch. So I understood that moment, but it was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, this seems heavily, you know, produced, but it made sense for the story that they're telling.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on the produce thing. I love that Allie didn't go in and that she just stood by her girl's side. I thought that that was like a very telling, like wonderful moment. It just shows you the kind of person Allie is. Also, it's so understandable. She didn't have a relationship with Sandoval. So why would she wish him a happy birthday? He can fuck off. Like, she's been with these girls and they've brought her in, you know, and really truly nurtured her and wanted to actually like be her friend and stuff. So like, it's understandable why she's going to be like, I'm going to stick with my people. Like, I have no affiliation with him. Like, you guys have a relationship. I'm wondering, so he did say, are you going to apologize for betraying me? Do you feel like that James was betrayed by Sandoval?
I think it's really weird that he used that wording. I'm not going to lie. I never thought as what Sandoval did betraying James. But James and Sandoval are really weird when it comes to their friend dynamic. I know James likes to say he saw Sandoval as like a role model and a big brother. I don't know if Sandoval really viewed their relationship as that. I think they had moments of being close. Here's the thing. Obviously, there was a relationship there. James and Rachel, they were broken up, right? The engagement was broken off.
The timeline is sus.
That is true. I know some people are like, that timeline is still sus. But if James is saying, as he's reflecting on it, he sees it as Sandoval icing him out during all this. And then they find out, what was Sandoval doing? Him and Rachel are hooking up. I can understand that. I'm not a huge Sandoval fan by any mean, but when James said, are you going to address how you betrayed me? I can understand Sandoval kind of being taken aback by that wording. And then, of course, what does Sandoval do? He then, you know, brings up things that happened 10 years ago there can be some similarities, but those situations are very, very different. But I didn't stand against James' wording with that was really weird to me.
I agree. I don't think betrayal is maybe the right word. I think maybe
just, I mean, hurt, like,
yeah, or deceit, just like you're very deceptive.
Yeah.
Very
sneaky.
Yeah. Like, oh, just an apology in general. He does deserve an apology. All of them deserve an apology. There's no. All of them. And that's something, unfortunately, he's never going to do. It's always going to be. We skipped over the fact that he had a conversation with Schwartz, which is huge, right? They go to lunch together or have a drink, whatever. And they have like this, he has this huge thing where he's like, dude, I feel betrayed by you. And I'm like, of all the people, and this is Sandoval guy saying this to Schwartz, of all the people, go fuck yourself. Like, he had
your literally,
he had your back like nobody else. He didn't tell anybody about your devious behavior. He knew about the affair from day one and he didn't say shit. That is a friend. Like, I don't think that he should have done this, but that is a friend. And I get it. I understand why you kept your secret, but like, that's a friend. And I don't know if I could do that. Like, that would really dishearten me. You had this girl in your wedding. You had a friendship with her and made her eat your ass steak. Like, how are you not friends with, like, how are you not stepping up to the plate and being like, look, dude, like, what you're doing is wrong. You need to tell her. And if you don't tell her, I will, because that's just the right thing to do. And I think this is where like men and women are obviously completely different. Like, if this was me, I might have been like Schwartz and I would have kept it going for a little bit, but up to a point. And then I would have told her, because I'd been like, look, dude, it's been a month. You got to figure it out. Like, I get that you're not
going to
break up with her then and then continue.
Well, it should have been always Sandoval, the one coming to Ariana, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like if I was in that situation and I had a friend, I would be like, you need to tell them by this amount of time. Otherwise, I cannot be the one to hold on to this. And Schwartz is a whole other thing with me, but when it comes to him and Sandoval's friendship, again, like you were saying, like Sandoval, here's a guy, he let you and Rachel like go to his apartment. He let you do all this stuff. And now you're saying he betrayed you because you went on Jax Taylor's podcast and talked shit, which I listened to that podcast. He was not really talking shit. He was expressing himself. And it's interesting going back to like, I thought it was so interesting when Lisa told Schwartz, like, this is also like on you, like you need to like step it up on this. And I'm like, that is such a weird thing to say, because I don't really vibe with Schwartz, but Schwartz and Sandy's, from my understanding, they put so much money into it. And then for this scandal to happen and then Sandoval to go off on tour and do his own thing and the backlash that the restaurant got, I think Schwartz was just like, you know, head in his hoodie. Like, how am I supposed to handle this? I think he did the best that he could in that situation. And then for Sandoval to even ever try to come after him is wild to me, because he is still, and I know they're fine today, obviously, and Schwartz is still apologizing for Sandoval. And I still think in a moment, Sandoval would turn on Schwartz or would yell at him. And it's wild to me because Schwartz has your back no matter what. You could murder someone or, you know what I mean, like do something crazy. And I think Schwartz would still have your back.
Yeah. I think like it was great that he took the time though to be like, look, dude, you fucked up and I need to do it for me. So I'm going to take a step back. Cause he's like, do you have my back no matter what? He's like, first of all, that's the worst question he could have asked him for me. If I were in Schwartz's shoes, I'd be like, fuck you. I've been standing up for you for the whole entire 7 months that you were having the affair. You're telling me, you're asking me, can I have your back? I've had your back. So I love that Schwartz finally stood up for himself in front of Sandoval, but at the same time, he did backtrack. I mean, he's always going to do that people-pleasing push-pull. It is what it is. And you're right.
Yeah.
He did not dog you, dude, on Jax and Brittany's podcast. He did it. He basically...
No.
He just said, like, if you look at it from a business standpoint, you fucked a ton of other people over. You fucked employees over. You fucked your business partners over and him. Now, at the same time, Lisa did say, you got to sack up, man. But Schwartz, I don't think that he can handle stuff like that. You know, like,
no, but
he's just not that kind of person that's going to be like, okay, it's time to put my bootstraps on and like, let's do this. You know, that's just not who he is. He's not that kind of person.
No, and there's obviously, these are the consequences when you make your whole restaurant your name and your brand, and then one of your partners is in this huge scandal. This is what, this shit can happen. And I don't think either of them were expecting this to blow up in the way that it did. I think though, like Schwartz he's been the one that's really has tried to save this business.
Yeah.
And Sandoval has it, and he can play the, well, I wasn't even allowed to go there or da 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 da. Well, because of what you did, and you weren't trying to help in any way at all.
Yeah. You just ran.
You just ran
versus like just been like, first of all, like the way that he handled it was just bad. It's kind of like LeBron James leaving Cleveland. Like you just handled it really bad. Like you could have handled it differently, but at the same time, like, or just be there for him throughout the whole thing. Like be in communication with him.
Yes.
Maybe what Schwartz wanted a little bit more was like, dude, I've been there for you. Can you just emotionally be there for me? I'm drowning here. You know, and so I don't think that he looks at his relationship with him like that at the time. Maybe he does now. I don't know. That being said, speaking of names and brands, let's pump yours.
Oh, you want me to like
this go ahead stuff? And promo yourself.
Oh,
that's all for Vanderpump.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, my name is Vanderpod Recaps. And as you said earlier, I'm trying some new formatting on my stuff. And then on Reddit, if you ever see the name Additional War 8759, I never remember the numbers, but that's also me on there. I can't change my screen name. It is what it is, but that's where
Why can't you change your screen name?
On Reddit, I don't think I've never been able to change my username. I don't think you can. I've tried.
Maybe maybe when you tried, like it was already taken or something that you wanted to switch it over.
No, it won't even let me like get to a point where I can even like change it at all. I've tried to Google this. If anyone knows out there, message me on my Instagram if I can change it.
Weird.
Because I know I'd rather have it be Vanderpod recaps, but additional war is kind of funny too, but it's like not my vibe, but you know.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like your vibe. That's why I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, no, it's awesome. It's still great, but it has nothing to do with the Vanderpod recap brand. No. That's why I'm like,
right. Nope, didn't make it. It just is what it is.
Any other promos? Nothing.
No, not that I can think of, but I again, thank you for having me on and all the support of my page too.
No, thank you. Thank you for recapping podcasts I don't want to listen to or watch. So I'm just grateful for that. Guys, we are definitely going to have Lindsay on again because this second time is the charm. Third time will be even better. So definitely have Lindsay back if she has the time. I know you're a mom. So like majority of my guests are parents and I'm just like, I feel so bad. I'm like, can you guys come on? They're like, well, my kid. And I was like, never mind. I'm like, just you tell me when you can come back on and I will gladly have you back on. So that being said, guys, this is The Real Bitch of Bravo with yours truly, G. Hay Wiley, with Lindsay Lime, Vanderpod Recaps. And also, look, I'm everywhere you get your podcast. You know, everybody that's actually listens to me every single time you get to the end of this, I hate promoting myself. Watch the end of this video and you'll have all my ads. Keep following, listening, all the good stuff, guys. And we out. Bye.
Bye.